The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
You need to eat. I'm pretty smart, huh? So if a patient came to me and said, listen, I've got this pain in my stomach, and I feel hungry. Have you eaten? Well, no, I haven't eaten. Well, let's try eating. Let's just try that, shall we? Okay. They come in next week. Well, how'd it go? How are you feeling? I still have that pain in my stomach, and it's really hurting. It's getting worse. Okay. Have you eaten? Well, I tried that. Did you do it every day? No, I tried once. I had a cracker. Didn't work. We're laughing, but I can't tell you how many times people have come to me and I've talked to them about fear. And I said, listen, the only thing that's going to defeat fear is Jesus and his word. That's the only thing. That's it. You're hungry? Eat. Well, what am I going to eat? His word. And that's what, when Jesus answered Satan, you don't have this, it doesn't matter. He says, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of my God. Folks, the only way you're going to defeat fear in your life is by looking up and speaking out. That's it. And you speak out his word. You don't speak out the problem. And let me tell you something. When you're afraid, the last thing you're going to want to do is grab that scripture confession book and read it. That's the last thing you're going to want to do. And Satan's going to tell you how stupid it is. He's going to tell you that's crazy. He's going to start showing you more of the problem, heaping it on, to try to get you distracted. It's a funny story, but guys, over and over and over, this is what I've dealt with people. And so I know it's a spiritual thing. And again, Satan's trying to steal the truth, because the truth is God's word. And it's not a magical thing. It's a creative thing. You know, how did God create the whole universe, everything, the world? He spoke it. When you're speaking God's word, it creates in you faith. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. When you hear yourself speak God's word, your faith rises up and starts pushing out those fiery darts of fear. Shield of faith. Amen? And taking courage, you know, the definition of courage is the ability to do something that frightens you. See, when I tell you to start reading the word, people come back, well, have you been reading the word? Yes. How do you feel? I feel better, but I still am afraid. Again, the feelings will change, but your soul is being trained out of it. And you do that by following the Spirit of God and speaking his word. Amen. Over and over and over and over and over again. And then keep doing it. And then keep doing it. And keep doing it until pretty soon you'll be sitting there and Satan will throw a little stupid, fearful thought in your head. And the first thing that will come out of your mouth is, God's not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. It'll start coming out of you. God's word will start welling up in you and coming out because your shield of faith is up. Because the darts are coming. They're coming. See, the reason these things work, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it says there's no fear in love. Remember what I've taught you about God, Father God in heaven, right? It doesn't say in his word that God has a great ability to love. No, it says God is love. That's what it says. That's who he is. That's who he is. And so when it says there's no fear in love, there's no fear in God at all. And he's put his spirit inside of his believers. In your spirit, man, there's zero fear. Zero. Because perfect love is being manifest in your spirit by his Holy Spirit. Now it's my mind, will, and emotions that needs to get on board. Right? And I've got to always be turning to the Spirit of God and not to the situation of the flesh. Because again, my little two-year-old, it doesn't want to eat the word. It wants to look at the problem, mess with it, play with it, be all in it. And then whine and cry to everybody who listen. That's what the flesh wants to do. But your soul man can be in perfect peace as it's tied to the Spirit of God that's producing peace, which is the fruit of His Spirit that resides inside of you. But you know how my soul can commune with my spirit perfectly? By reading the Word of God. Seriously. Because I choose to do it. I choose my mind to focus on His Word and not the problem. And then what happens is God's Word starts accomplishing the things He sent it to accomplish. See, this isn't some little, you know, like trickery thing, you know. It's like hack. It's not a hack. It's power. We're created in the image of God. His creative force resides inside of you by His Spirit. So you're going to create in you courage by His Word and His power. But it's a choice. See, He gives us a choice. Could He do it for us? Yes. But, you know, if you do everything for that little guy, he won't know how. He's got to learn. You're going to teach him as a good parent. And you are a good parent. You're going to teach him. He's going to know. We have a Father in heaven who loves us. I love what Misty was saying. Misty and Jim laid it out so well for us. My Father who art in heaven. Whose Father? My Father. He's my Father. I know Him as my Father. Where is He in heaven with a whole different perspective than I have? I love how they set that up. See, and it says, perfect love casts out fear. I love that because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. He who fears, he who operates under that influence of fear. You see, we are being perfected. We're not perfect. We're being perfected. Our soul is working out this great salvation that's been given to us. It's being worked out. My spirit man is completely sealed by His Spirit. That's why I have the ability to hear Him. That's why He is inside of me. Because He paid the price. I'm going to read things that you don't have. I'm going to read Romans 10. That's where it talks about faith comes by hearing. I'm going to start in verse 14. It says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. I love that. Who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Read above. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? And then this is the scripture we always quote. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing the word of God causes you to believe. To truly believe that His perfect love is casting out that fear that I've been feeling. The fear of the situation, the fear of the diagnosis, the fear of the bank account, the fear of what someone else thinks about you. Oh, yeah, that's next week. I was putting it together, and I thought, no, you better lay some more foundation. Read Proverbs 29:25. It'll get you a little head start. Anyway, let's get back on. See, let's go to John 8, 31 and 32. It says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in My word, and then you are My disciples indeed. And it says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is why I always say it this way. And Jim said it already. The truth is out there, but it doesn't set everyone free. The truth of God's word is out there. Jesus is out there. He's making Himself known to all men. It says that in Scripture. But if people don't believe, know in their heart that His word is true and that He is the truth, they're not free. Psalm 34:4. I'm skipping around a lot. I sought the Lord and He heard me and He delivered me from all my fears. I want to be set free from fear. I have to know the truth. I have to know it. And you're going to have feelings. It's okay to have the feelings. Please. I'm not sitting here, you know, so when you feel that fear, oh, Pastor Monty would be so upset with me. No, Pastor Monty's fighting it too. But what do you do when you have the feeling? Pray. Speak God's word. Ask someone else to pray for you. Ask someone else to speak God's word with you. Go back and listen to some of these sermons. I'm serious. You say, well, I tried that. It didn't work. God's word always accomplishes the things he sent it to accomplish. And we know what it says. Grab those scripture confession books. I give them out all the time. In fact, I got to send some more out. I promised some people I'd give them more, and they left without me giving them, so I'm going to mail them. Because it's a simple tool. Hey, listen, 30 years ago when I started really getting into this, I didn't know where any of these scriptures were. Here's a newsflash. I still don't know where all of them are. But you know what? I find them coming out of me. Where does it say it? I don't know. Let's go Google it and find out. But that's what God said. I know what he says. And I know his word is true because I had to look to him and cry out to him. In the Passion, it says, listen to my testimony. I cried to God in my distress. And guys, there's distress out there. He answered me and he freed me from all my fears. In the Amplified, it says, I sought, inquired of the Lord and required him. See, the world doesn't require God. Nah, we don't need God. We're smart enough ourselves. Look at all the money we got. Look at all the power we got. Look at all the things we do. It's all fake. And at the middle of the night, in their heart of hearts, they know it's fake too. I sought, inquired of the Lord, and required him of necessity. And listen to this. And on the authority of his word. I love that. And he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Not some of them. All of them. See, if we really had the perspective Jim and Misty were talking about, these things that make us so afraid would dissolve. You say, but Monty, look at this diagnosis. But Monty, you know, look at the situation. I'm not denying the facts of the situation. But I'm telling you, when you've admitted and accepted that you've sinned and you needed a Savior, and you believe that Jesus is that Savior, and you've confessed that truth out of your mouth, you're saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart he rose from the dead, it says you will be saved. If God is for me, who can be against me? I almost put it in there. It talks about, you know, don't fear the one that can kill your body. You know, fear the one that can send you to hell. Love the one who takes you to heaven. Love the one who paid the price for you, the selfless price. Love him enough that, listen, what's the worst that can happen to you? You pass from this world and go to heaven? I mean, like I said, I've got some family members fighting some stuff, real stuff. In the natural, probably not going to live very long. In the supernatural, she's going to live forever. And again, I'm not selfish enough to say, well, I want this and I want that. I'm faithful enough to say, you will keep her as I've committed her to you, Lord. Because he's faithful. He's the one that's faithful. That little wisp of vapor Jim was talking about, that's what the word says. That's all this is. But in the midst of us floating through the air, let's advance his kingdom. Amen. Let's be faith-filled people who speak faith, who speak truth over the facts until the facts line up with the truth. See, I'd rather be speaking the truth because you know what it does to me? Changes how I feel. Try it. I'm telling you,
when the people finally do what I ask them to do, read God's word faithfully, it changes how they feel. It does. Because God's word is powerful. It's mighty. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It discovers our conditions, what it says. It discovers where that fear is coming from, and then God heals that with his perfect love. That's why it gets cast out. I had to throw in my, I don't know. You may have these, you may not. I like one of my favorite scriptures. In fact, it is my favorite scripture. It's Micah 7:7. It says, therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait upon the God of my salvation, for my God will hear me. So many people, when they're in the midst of trials and tribulations, that whole waiting thing. I mean, listen, when you're in distress, you want relief now, right? Now. And yet, I have found that walking in the fruit of patience, which is the fruit of his spirit. Remember, I don't have to pray for patience. I have patience by following the Spirit of God. Because that's the fruit of his presence inside of me. I don't have to pray for it. It's already available to me. Now, do I receive it and operate in it? It's my choice. But waiting on him and continuing to do what he's called me to do while I await the promise, the fulfillment, that takes faith. Which means it takes a whole lot of word coming out of your mouth. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by his word. It takes a whole lot of word. And if you find yourself struggling in the waiting part, which we do, what's the solution? Read more of the word. Yes. Get it out of your mouth. Over and over and over and over and over. Well, you know, I was reading the word and I was doing real good until I got to Leviticus. Got to Lamentations. Listen, you don't have to read the Bible cover to cover to do this. Get the scripture confession book and keep saying the same word. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. If I'm saying that over and over and over throughout my day, as that spirit of fear keeps trying to get a hold of me, I'm going to beat him to death with that word of God. Seriously. Because he can't. What did Jesus do? He spoke the word. What are we going to do? Speak the word. But I don't know all the word. Well, know some of it. Know the part that he's given you right now to apply. And wear it out. Over and over and over. And watch the enemy flee. And then he'll give you a new word. And then he'll start enlightening you. He wants to set you free. And his truth will do that. And he'll give you what you need to know. One more scripture, maybe. I got a lot more. Psalm 27:14. It says, wait on the Lord. You know, when I see that, you know, it used to be when I saw wait. I don't like that. Now when I see that wait on the Lord, it actually gives me rest. It gives me peace. You know, this world has hurried us for so long. Pushed us, hurried us. Hurry, get here, get there. You know. I'm not in a hurry with him. If he's leading me, then who's setting the pace? He is. If I'm a follower, who's setting the pace? He is. You know, John the Baptist said, less of me, more of him. Less of me. That's that whole selfless thing. I may have to preach another self sermon. I was finding more scriptures going, oh, Lord, help me. I need this. Less of me and more of him. So now I can wait on him because he's setting the pace anyway. Wait on the Lord. Then it says, be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. When you're afraid, doesn't your heart feel weak? It does. You feel weak inside. No, no, no. We're going to wait on the Lord. We're going to be of good courage, right? He shall strengthen your heart. Watch him do it. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I love that. I know it sounds like I'm kind of preaching the same thing over and over. Do you know why? I am. Do you know why I'm doing it over and over? Because I need it. Amen. And you need it too. Because you guys are facing stuff. I know you are. Remember the whole perilous times will come? Well, we're in the perilous times. But he's saying, no, there's no fear. You guys can start handing out the, you guys are awesome. They're, you know, they know what I'm thinking before I think it. Yeah. That's called wisdom right there. Those guys, we are so blessed with our teams. Yeah. I can't, you know, I mean, and I'm talking all of our teams. What great teams. We are going to take communion now. And you know what was really cool? I was blessed this morning. Can I have three?
As many as you want.
That's three.
They're free today.
They're free today? Thank you. Nice. I had a text this morning from one of our people. As much as I would love to have fun with her, I'm not going to at her expense. I will later. But she texts me, she says, hey, I'm not feeling up to snuff. Pray for me, and I am. She says, but hey, can you bring communion to your office tomorrow when I see you? I said, yeah, we're doing that. So I'm taking it to her. Because it matters, you know what I'm saying? Guys, when we do this, it matters. This isn't like something we just do. I mean, I'm supposed to, let me get my communion thing. We are now going to serve communion. And then I always say, to those who wish to participate. Meaning, you're free. You're free to partake. You know, when you're in Christ, walking this out in obedience is powerful. I'm speaking that this isn't true. Let's say there's someone here that isn't in Christ. They take communion. Okay, great. Take communion and then come up here and talk to me and be in Christ after. Amen? I mean that. Sincerely, I'm trusting you all are in Christ, the ABCs, I trust that. But if there's a question about that, don't leave today. Please don't leave today without talking to me or somebody around here. You see, we look at Paul's writing to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11, Verse 23, it says, for I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself on the night when he was betrayed. The Lord Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. And he broke it in pieces. And he says, this is my body which is given for you. He says, do this in remembrance of me. So as we do these things, it's an act of obedience. Verse 25 says, in the same way he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. And Paul goes on to write that we should examine ourselves, which means to learn and discriminate. We can only really learn by the power of the Holy Spirit. It says to examine yourself before you take this. And what he's saying is get in tune with what the Spirit's telling you. And oftentimes people, you know, often want to go to, you know, do I have some bad things going on? Well, yeah, if you have something going on that God's been working you with, give it to him right now. Just give it to him. Say, God, help me. Forgive me. Lead me. So we're just going to kind of be quiet and let the Lord speak, and then we'll take communion together, okay? to them. I know they didn't understand this when he was talking about a new covenant. You know, they knew that there had to be sacrifice for sin. And what Jesus was telling them is I'm going to be that once for all. His body was broken for us. And it was for our benefit. And there's benefits involved with that. His blood cleansing us of our sins. Greatest benefit, of course. So as we peel off the little thin top layer, we're going to take the bread and I'm going to pray. Hold it in your hands as I pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you and we remember all that you have done for us on the cross. Thank you for loving us so much. You gave up heaven for us. Thank you for allowing your body to be broken so that ours might be whole. As we partake, we receive your resurrection life, health, and strength. By your grace, we shall be completely strong and healthy all the days of our lives. Our eyes shall not grow dim, nor shall our strength be abated. No sickness can remain in our bodies because the same power that raised you from the grave flows through us. And your word says, by your stripes, we are healed. Let's take the bread. As we hold the cup in our hands, you peel it back with the little thicker one. There we go. Okay. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your precious blood. Thank you for washing us clean of all our sins. We stand before you completely righteous and forgiven. Your blood has redeemed us from every curse, and today we can freely receive all the blessings that crown the head of the righteous. We are righteous in you, Jesus. Let's drink the cup. In Psalm 103, verses 1 through 3, the word says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities." And verse 3, you know what it says? It says, "Who heals all your diseases." That's what his word says. That might be a good scripture to have jotted down and read over and over and over, because he's the Lord we serve. You know, it's the first communion of the year. The calendar year, I should say. But I'm praying that its meaning is even more powerful in our lives as our faith has grown. See, we don't do this out of a flippant, you know, turning on a switch, turn off a switch. You know, this isn't a flippant thing. I'm not, in case you guys haven't noticed, I'm not real, what's the word? I don't do things in a certain order every time. You know what I'm saying? You know how some churches, things are very, right? And I'm not saying that's bad. But that's not me. I suspect God knew that. But that doesn't take away from the importance of what we do, because it's him. And if he says to do it, chances are we probably know about this much of its importance.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. Great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore. Troubled sea, whoa, you are the peace.